This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to More or Less. We're your guide to the numbers in the news and in the world around us. And I'm Tim Harford.
And I'm Kate Lamble.
This week, we're focusing on a story in Puerto Rico, which is a sort of detached part of the United States, called an unincorporated territory. Puerto Rico is currently suffering from a debt crisis. It owes billions to people holding government bonds. And the island's also recovering from devastating Hurricane Maria, which struck last September.
I spent 24 hours in my office refreshing the computer so that I could get some information about the hurricane.
Alexis Santos is the director of the Applied Demography Program at Penn State University in the US. But on September the 20th last year, he was just another concerned citizen, worried about his family living on the island.
I still recall the day in which I dialed my mom's phone number 112 times, and the 112th time was when she picked up.
In the immediate aftermath, Alexis watched as President Trump visited Puerto Rico.
Every death is a horror, but if you look at a real catastrophe like Katrina.
And as Trump started to talk about the remarkably low death count, Alexis was astonished.
Now, what is your death count as of this moment? 17?
16 certified.
16 people certified.
I said, wait a minute, this is a tragedy. Everything I hear from friends to my mother, to people who work in hospitals, to friends who are nurses, everything I hear is a devastation.
Alexis suspected that the figure of 16 killed, which in the following months was gradually revised upwards by the government to over 60, was only counting a narrow subset of those killed by Hurricane Maria. He thought they might only be counting those killed as a direct result, perhaps by a falling tree, and ignoring those who died indirectly, say because after a heart attack they were unable to travel to hospital because of the disrupted transport system. Alexis decided to solve the issue by comparing the death rate after the hurricane to historical death rates from previous years to calculate a figure for excess mortality. And fortunately, there was an organization there to help him.
The first thing I needed was historical data and mortality. So I called PRIS,
the Puerto Rico Institute for Statistics,
and I asked them to send me a file with which I could produce monthly counts of deaths for the last 7 years.
That data allowed Alexis to calculate that the total number of deaths associated with the hurricane was about 1,000, far more than the official count. It's a figure that has put the government under great political pressure, and normally we could run an entire More or Less show on how Alexis figured it out. But there's another issue at hand here.
I wouldn't have been able to do the work I did in the manner I did it, as fast as I did it, if we didn't have PRIS helping us access the data.
PRIS, the Puerto Rico Institute for Statistics, helped Alexis and many others get the data they needed about Puerto Rico. But PRIS is now under threat from the government of Puerto Rico, which plans to take away its independent board and place it under the control of a government department. Now, to understand why so many people have concerns about this move, we have to go back to the start and look at why PRIS was created in 2007. Before PRIS was established, every government department in Puerto Rico produced statistics about its own specialist area.
The education department produces statistics on education, and that had some challenges because You know, there's a conflict of interest when the minister of a certain department is also responsible for producing the statistics that are later used to evaluate the work of that minister.
This is Mario Marazzi, and you'd expect him to know something about Puerto Rico statistics because at the moment he runs PRIS.
In the 90s, there was news reporting that found that the police was not counting all of the homicides. There was over-optimistic economic projections. There was over-optimistic population projections that made policymakers overspend and get more indebted than should have been the case.
Mario believes that these rosy statistics were part of the reason that Puerto Rico borrowed too much and created its current debt crisis. PRIS was created to fix these underlying problems by creating a government body that had an independent board, so they'd act as a kind of watchdog, advising and helping departments to produce the best statistics they could and correcting things when they went wrong. And researchers like Alexis Santos say that PRIS has made a big difference.
PRIS has brought a lot of changes towards the data culture. So one of the things is they do continuing education. So they are teaching government employees cutting-edge techniques on how to do demographic analysis with open-source software.
And as well as changing the culture around data, there have been some occasions over the years when PRIS has had to step in to correct government errors. Around 2010, they started to look into the Consumer Price Index, calculated by the Department for Labour. It helps monitor the inflation in prices for goods and services.
CPI is calculated by tracking the changes in price of a representative basket of products. Now, countries normally update this basket quite regularly, but in Puerto Rico, the items monitored were barely altered since the 1980s. For this and other reasons, it seemed as though people were spending more on goods than they really were.
Overestimated inflation means that anyone who uses this index to adjust salaries is going to lead these wages to be increased more than they should have.
Mario and his team investigated, and they discovered that the problem was partly down to the Department of Labor averaging prices in the wrong way. So they went about fixing the issue.
And that was no easy task, because even though we did it for most of the data, the Puerto Rico Department of Labor later did not want to publish the revised data. There was a concern that this would be some sort of a shock to the economy, that the true inflation was less than half. These arguments are a little strange, because a very high inflation rate is a sign of a very unstable economy.
Mario says PRIS then put in a subpoena for the missing information, and they were ignored.
So we then went to the court. But when we did that, the governor sent his representative on the board of the Puerto Rico Institute of Statistics to try to, well, to have me fired.
Why?
For proceeding to make the government of Puerto Rico look bad by suing itself.
Now, that attempt to force Mario out of his job as head of the PRIS ultimately failed after critical press coverage, but it was only one example of the many government pressures that PRIS has faced. And this is a consequence of how they were created. Their position is one of an overseer. They're there to promote good work and correct poor work. They're independent, but they're also part of the government. So for the government figures they criticise, there is a temptation to push back. A new governor came to power in 2017. But that wasn't the end of Mario's problems.
Well, looking back at 2010, it seems like child's play relative to what we're facing now. First of all, in the summer of last year, the government questioned our statistics on the number of government job posts. This is really important data for the fiscal crisis so that people understand how many people are employed by the government of Puerto Rico. And the numbers that we publish on a regular basis did not align well with the message of the moment, which was that they weren't going to have to fire many transitory workers. The only way the government could respond was by saying our data was just not reliable. By the end of that month, the governor also fired four of the board members of PRIS. Specifically, he fired the four scientists with PhDs on our board.
A seven-month legal struggle ensued, arguing over whether the governor had the right to fire independent board members. A debate PRIS finally won in March of this year, which allowed their board to meet again. Soon after, though, the government announced its new plan, restructuring PRIS, abandoning the independent board entirely and placing it under the auspices of the Department of Economic Development. They'll privatise the collection of statistics, which they say will save money. But supporters of PRIS believe that privatization will also compromise the independence of Puerto Rico's statistics. That's at least what Alexis Santos fears.
I believe that bringing PRIS under the control of a department in the executive branch would pretty much destroy PRIS as it exists. It would certainly take away the independence it has.
And Alexis believes that would damage Puerto Rico's ability to plan how it can recover from Hurricane Maria and the debt crisis. And speaking of the debt crisis, the Fiscal Oversight Management Board, which has been imposed by the United States to oversee Puerto Rico's recovery from the crisis, well, it's also announced its wish for the Institute of Statistics to remain an independent entity. But most worried is Mario, who, remember, is currently the head of PRIS.
My concern is that it will bring us back to the way things were before PRIS existed, which is the environment in which the fiscal and economic crisis was created. PRIS costs very little amount of money, but we've helped the government acquire great amount of credibility in its data, and there's a lot of work that still needs to be done.
Mario Marazzi. All this isn't yet signed off, but there does seem to be little political will to stop it. The government now has until the 1st of July to create the legislation to put its plan in place.
In the meantime, PRIS and its supporters are doing everything they can to help protect the independence of statistics in Puerto Rico.
We did approach the office of the governor of Puerto Rico for this piece, but we received no reply. And that is all we have time for this week on More or Less. If you have a story you'd like us to take a look at, you can email moreorless@bbc.co.uk or find us on Twitter @BBC More or Less. Until next week, goodbye.